We've started.
Have we?
Oh. Yeah.
Cool.
So, welcome to the Jimson and Roscoe show. This is episode 15. We've got Corey Rose joining us today.
Come on.
Welcome, Corey.
Come on.
You saying you good?
Yeah, good, man. Good, man. I'm good, bro.
So the first thing we like to ask all of our guests is three good things that happened to you today, bruv.
Three good things that happened to me. I get to see another day.
Yeah.
I got to write some new music. You get me? And I done my washing, fam. I done my washing, you get me?
Yes.
No, man, Sunday, Sunday is my favourite day, man. Like, you know, Sunday's just a day where you can just reset, relax, bro. Like, yeah. You get me? Listen to local church service, we're in the background, make sure the house cleaning and that's done, and then boom.
Do you know what I am? Sunday, we did this thing for ages and we dipped out of it. We did like a screenless Sunday.
Mm.
So to stop the kids going on a screen on a Sunday, we like deprived ourselves from it as well.
Yeah.
And it went well for ages. And then I was like making so much noise. I was like, no, I need to get this finished. So I was like, it was creeping in. We spoke to my missus this morning. I was like, no, I need to get back on it.
Yeah.
Screenless Sunday. It was such a good thing, man.
Listen, man, like when I was growing up, yeah, like you never like, obviously you had the PlayStations and that, you get me, finally when I got it after 3 years after everyone got the new thing in it, I finally got it, bro.
Too expensive, bro.
Man's got last year's FIFA, like, you get me, like, right, so you get it. But like, obviously,
this year's next year.
Literally, bro, but like, obviously, it never was really a thing. Like, I used to like to play out, like, I would kick ball, you get me? Everyone would be at the front of the estate, whatever, like playing football or whatever the fuck we were doing.
Where are you from?
I'm from Newton.
So how old are you?
I'm 27, just turned 27, yeah.
There was a thing so you would have been 90, were you in the 90s?
Yeah, 94.
Yeah.
94.
Because it was, I've read this thing and they were saying 80s to mid 90s are the most interesting generation.
Yeah.
Because with the bridge between the old and the new.
Yeah. Mm.
So you've got like, the generations before us hold a lot more traditional values, lot more conservative in their nature.
Mm.
The generations after us are like fucking like so far left.
Yeah.
It's like fucking no, like that there's no such thing as fucking genders.
It's
the opposite spectrum. They're saying our generation, who were there through the middle,
in
the birth of technology, of like...
I used to have a black and white TV in my bedroom.
Do you know what I mean? we've lived through this sort of like revolution. They're saying we should be the people that are kind of running the world because we've still got enough knowledge to hold the traditions before us at heart, but we've still got, we're in tune with the people as well. So we can kind of the middle ground of the old and the new world. Because it is a fucking new world.
Dusty old guys running the world.
A lot's changed, isn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Even from when, like, I mean, like I said, I'm only 27, fam, and I feel like literally so much has changed from like then to now. Yeah. You get me? Now I'm like grown up, obviously older and whatever. I see things in a different way, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that just comes with experience and everything. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Because it was like a... So you mean it's like when you're younger and it's like you know where people are.
Mm.
There's no like fucking. Mm. You mean it's like if they're not there, they're there.
Yeah, they're there.
You know what I mean? But it's like my boy when he's out in front now and he's playing. Like, you mean it's like he'll moan. He'll be like, "It's all right, time to get off your iPad. You're going out now." And he'll moan. But once he's off and you can see him out the window, he's out, him and his little mate Tyler from across the road. They're in the bushes. They got with their bow and arrows and guns all lined
up.
Hid in the bushes
playing.
Literally playing. Like, get outside and play.
Mm. So what music do you make? Because Ross...
Well, what do you do?
What do you do?
I'm actor and musician. Mm-hmm. So I mainly do rap. Like, I mainly do, like, get me, like, UK hip-hop.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of all music and I dab out in a lot. Like, my favourite genre is R&B, innit? Like, R&B is my favourite genre of music.
Yeah.
And I write a lot of R&B music. But I'm into the whole songwriting thing. As well, but yeah, like the main music that I put out at the moment is kind of more in the conscious rap, you know what I'm saying? But obviously I've got literally all different genres in my catalog, like, you get me? I've got some R&B songs. Obviously I dabbed in drum and bass when I moved up here.
Mm.
But before I moved up here, I didn't really, like, my dad used to listen to, like, Jungle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
My dad used to listen to Bear Jungle when I was a youth. I used to obviously listen to it, but you know what I mean? I weren't really into it like that.
Yeah.
I came up here, like, 2017? Like, I came up to, like, I moved up kind of more to the southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously people, I was with one guy at work and he was like, oh, like, have you listened to much drum and bass? And I was like, not really, bro. Like, I'm not going to lie. It's like, do you think you'll be able to spit on it? And I was like, I can give it a go, innit? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
give it a go.
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Cold on drum and bass,
bro. Do you spit double time at the at like 160, or do you spit like as if you're spitting at 80?
To be honest, I both. I kind of change it. Like, I used to think that, like, rah, I have to spit at, like, yeah, I have to spit double time, innit? Like, because the beat is a lot different, you get me? And especially, like you said, because I do more conscious rap, it's 80, 90, you get me? Like, 95 is like my sweet spot, you know what I'm saying? So it was a big change. But I guess, obviously, growing up, like, where I grew up in that, obviously, you had grime, you had all them things. You kind of just were, okay, if I do this flow, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it took a minute still, because, like I said, I never really listened to it like that.
Yeah.
So my first event, bro, like, I was just there in front of people, just jaws swaying in front of me. Like, I was just looking like, rah, this is different. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm used to, like, just spitting outside of my artist yard with the man them. You get me? Our phone just there in the middle playing the instrumental and spitting.
Yeah.
Now I'm at this rave. People's eyes are like fucking golf balls.
You know, I'd like I always forget how much I like drum and bass.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, I've never been a fan of drum and bass, like, in the sense of, like, I'm going to go home and listen to drum and bass.
Yeah.
In a rave.
Like, in a rave, or when the vibe's right, even in a house when the vibe's right, but it's got to be a little party gathering.
Yeah,
it's not, I'm not going to listen to it on my own.
No.
And I always forget how much I love drum and bass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and the other day I put on a Liquid drum and bass playlist.
Yeah, Liquid's the one.
And I was like, do you know what? And I was like, because I was like, fucking, Gwenny messaged me out in the blue.
Mm.
And he had this, like, idea he wanted to make Liquid drum and bass. I was like, mate, I've never made fucking drum and bass in my life.
Mm-mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like fucking. And I was like, do you know what? And I was like, let me put some Liquid on. And like, do you mean, because I've, again, like, do you mean, I think like that can be applied some, like, you spit at like the 80 sort of like tempo.
Yeah,
there's loads conscious of vibes.
There's loads of them tunes. Yeah, and mate, the playlist loads I put on Spotify was sick. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm the same as you, man. I like to dabble.
Yeah, man. I think it's the way to be as well. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a fan of music. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a fan of all kinds of music. Like, bruv, some days you'll just hear me playing Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye, bruv. Yeah, like, no I'm word of a lie, man. And I'm just the there.
Same, man. I'm a sucker for power ballads, man.
Yeah.
I was brought up on power ballads. My mum's a power ballad fan. So, yeah, mate.
Yeah,
power
ballads music,
at heart.
Yeah, trust. Like, the lyrics as well, bro. Yeah, like, the lyrics in certain tracks. You're like, now I listen back like to like man like Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye, like them, man,
still so relevant.
Timeless music,
yeah,
timeless
man music. And that's what you want
apart from when he's speaking about 16-year-old girls,
but all them man all them man were a bit funny bruv.
Like,
back in them days, all them man were a bit funny, fam. Literally, like, it's a bit mad, really,
like the fucking the revelations of like the 80s fucking 90s, like fucking, well, yeah, 80s more so, like, you mean, like,
yeah.
So what project have you got out now that like people can go and listen to?
I just released, I done a double drop, so like I released two songs at the same time. And that was the first time I released in a bit, like, not because, but obviously the whole pandemic thing and that, like, I was like, you know what, let me take this time to really like find my craft, because like last year, what, like 2020, like, was the first year I started to proper release stuff, you know what I'm saying? But I've been doing music for time, like, from a youth, you know what I'm saying?
Were you doing, like a monthly strategy type thing where you were putting lots of singles out?
Yeah. That, I was putting out singles, but, like, obviously, I think because, not, like, in a big headway, but I'm quite versatile in my music, I was like, right, what's going to hit? You get me? What are people going to fuck with more? You get me? The conscious stuff, the R&B stuff, you get me? The clubby tiger sort of, you get me? That sort of vibe, what vibe's it going to be? So I kind of had, like, the first song I released was Therapy, which is obviously, it's still now my most streamed song. And that was more about, like, mental health, like men's mental health in particular, like all the stuff I went through growing up and all that. And then I dropped a track, what did I drop after that? I dropped a track called Bad One, which was a completely different vibe. I was just dropping tracks to see what people fuck with.
Hit.
So then this year, and well, from the beginning of the pandemic, I kind of was like, right, cool, people are fucking with these two sort of things, which was more the kind of the conscious stuff, the real rap.
People are craving that, man. They love Jamina's. Well, that's what I listen to most. Jamina's, like, you did. Every now and then, I like to put the occasional fucking ignorant shit on and just fucking wash my head. But majority of the time you're going to catch me listening to some of that fucking music with meaning.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think as well, like, because
especially last year, because you couldn't go out.
Nah.
Yeah,
that's probably
why
that song hit so hard.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you can't go out. Like, club music ain't going to really work last year. This year, the club music's going to pop, bro.
Yeah. It's back. This hard. Is the thing. So, like, obviously, the latest release, Tearless in the Rain, out now on all platforms.
Yeah,
you get
come
me?
On.
So make sure you get that shit. Come
on. We'll put links below if you're on YouTube, and if you're listening on Spotify. You can just go
straight.
What's the name on Spotify?
Corey Rose.
Yeah. KoriRoze.
There you go. Yeah. After the pod, wait to listen. Listen to the end for us, then go over.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I kind of looked through the catalogue of music that I got now. Because literally from the beginning of the pandemic till now, I've just been writing and writing. And I've got like a good catalogue of songs now. And then we just kind of looked through them. And yeah, it was like, yeah, these make sense, you know what I'm saying? They make sense. One of the songs, Tearless, is about one of my friends that passed away a couple years ago. She suffered with mental health and that kind of thing. It was kind of based around that, and then obviously other things, growing up and just life. The Rain is kind of like similar to that, you get me? But a bit more, like, I've got two features on that. An artist from Atlanta, and a girl called Ling London, which she's from London as well, it's good. So we had that kind of contrast, like Tearless is a bit more dark and conscious rap, and then Rain has still got that feel, but it's a bit more of a vibe, like it's a bit more you get me, people can bop to it because of the hook, quite man. You get me? So
SZA does that a lot, right? It's depressing music, and then you've got girls like
listen to what she's saying.
She's
really unhappy, man. But it's good if you can do that. That's a fucking art, man.
That's because I think that's my biggest challenge in life, man. I write depressing music, but it fucking sounds depressing.
But the Christmas song was
Do you know what, like,
was kind of uplifting.
Yeah, and then again, you listen to the words and it's like fucking
depressing.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with that, though.
There's
This is the thing, I feel like people make music for different reasons. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Like, for me personally, but like, I make music for two reasons. One, because it's literally therapy to me. I get what's out here on paper, And do you know what I mean? That's my main reason, like, because like that's how I started making music as a youth. The first song I ever writ, there's this woman, basically like my mum's friend. Her mum had cancer, right? And bro, she always used to, like, you know them ones where you're a youth and you used to have someone that was took me like McDonald's. Like, we didn't have a lot growing up.
Look after you, man.
Because obviously my family, I grew up with fuck all, fam. Like, you get me? I didn't have nothing. So like, she always used to come like now and then, would take me maybe like Mackey's or something. You know what I mean? Spend a day with her and that. And she beat cancer once. And then like, obviously she got it again, and the second time obviously she didn't beat it. And I remember I was going on like a journey, I think I was going like Birmingham or something with my pups, and I was just in the back of the car, bro, and no beat, you know, just there with my pen and paper. I just started writing, bro, like, and it was about
that. Do you still write like that,
bro? Pen
do
and
you
pipe.
Write without beat still, or do you write to the beat now? Because I find my best work is written in silence with no music.
Bro, literally, I thought I was the only man that does that, bro. I swear to you, like, you know what, sometimes it's mad because like my manager will be like, right, like, here's the beat, like, you get me, right? And lock off the lights. I want darkness, pitch black, bruv. Do you know what it is?
The room's the wrong temperature.
What the fuck, bruv? Literally, but sometimes I do that. Like, when I'm at home, especially, like, you get me, pen and pad. I don't really write lyrics on my phone. Like, I've got like 5 books now, bro, just full of lyrics. And it's long sometimes, because sometimes, like, where the fuck did I put them lyrics?
You know what I do? And I only recently found this. I've just started a new one. This is my latest one. But like, what I do, I go through and like, because like, I can't read my own writing. You see my writing. He's like, you write like a doctor.
Man.
So what I have to do, I have to transfer it to phone afterwards. And it wasn't until recently, I was like, oh, this is long. And then I realised that you can press the microphone and you can dictate voice it to your phone.
You can take a photo and it will literally take the text out and turn it into text.
You fucking understand my handwriting?
It will. I guarantee you it will.
Try that stuff.
Try it, man.
Do you have like a set time? Do you allocate time to writing, or do you write when it comes to you?
A bit of both. Again, like, I would say most of the time, I feel like because of the sort of music I write, I can't just be like, right, I'm gonna write this song today. You get me? Because like when people actually listen to my music, they're like, rah, like you're speaking like a lot. I say to people all the time, like, if you want to get to know me, listen to my music. I put it all on there, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like all my struggles and everything, that's where it is in my music. But you know, if I do allocate time to write music, it's more like the R&B stuff, you get me, or songs. Like I said, I've got a folder of like R&B songs for like girls, guys, you get me? So like, I'm into the songwriting thing. Yeah, so hopefully like you'd get me like soon, obviously, like I've written a couple songs for people, you get me, but like I wanna get into that a lot more. I just started learning guitar, innit?
Yeah, I started a while back and I fucking give up.
It's like, I bought acoustic guitar recently, man. I was like, man,
how you getting on?
All right, like,
what if you got like A, D, and E at the moment?
Yeah, like I'm working in it, but like I'm a sort of person, man. Like, if I start something, you know, I get like obsessed with shit.
What are you learning from,
bro? Just by ear.
Are you not doing it? There's a guy. Check out Justin's guitar.
Yeah, what's that, a YouTube thing?
He's got a YouTube channel, or you can buy his app, but he's got so much free stuff on YouTube.
Okay.
And a lot of the people, because I'm in this in DKNBA, the community, there's a lot of musicians in there, and like I said to him, I was like, I want to learn guitar, and like the amount of them that said, put me onto this Justin, and that's what I started using.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, like, it's great, it's simple, his like cues and stuff, like he'll do things of like posture and stuff like that.
That was one of the things.
Like I'd be looking down.
Yeah,
like,
lean up. Trust.
Like, fucking end up like fucking hunchback and hunching down after a few years. Do you know what I mean?
But my posture's bad anyway, fam. Like,
do you play piano?
Again, a little bit, not much. Like, you get me? I'm no Santan Dave, you get me? Like, he's a different guy. Have you seen that brother play piano, fam?
Man,
just there serenading people, I see one post
that
the other
show,
day.
That show, was it the
The Brits?
Yeah, it was the Brits, wasn't it?
Bruv, where he done black and bruv. That guy
was mad.
But yeah, like, I play it now and then, but not to that level. But that's definitely, again, like, instruments and that is something I want to incorporate. Because I feel like once I get that, I'll be able to songwrite much easier, and I'll be able to sell the melody, get the everything there.
Yeah, because I remember Rag and Bowman years ago, and he was saying, like, because obviously he was on the hip hop circuit initially, and he was just singing over boom bap beats. But like now, like,
when we followed him, me and him, went on after Rag and Bowman
and at Lakota,
and we walked off, and we looked at, he goes, "You on next, guys?" We were like, "Yeah." He was like, "Smash it!" We went.
It's surreal when you see someone like that. I remember
fair play to him, man, because he's fucking like he's such a fucking humble guy and such a talented guy. But he said about like him, like where he was always doing boom bap beats and shit, he said you have to transition, you need to start doing key changes, you need to start incorporating these if you want to go to the next level of your song, especially for a singer. I mean, not so much like if you're just a spitter, you could just like put some drops and some switches and stuff, but that next level of like if you want to take it that direction, it's like
bro, there's a big leap, man. Like, I've noticed that a lot, like, you get me, when even with spitters now, that bro, people are so creative these days, you get me, like, look how like drill's developed, you know what I mean, people go, oh, drill dude, but bro, like, people are really developing that sound.
Some of the people coming through on the drill scene,
it's, or not like, just about drilling and dipping, man, that, I mean, that's the core of it, but like like, you get me, but that's how it started, you get me, with people from the roads, you get me, people from Luton, London, like places like that, from the roads, and you get me, again, like I do, bruv. All I do is write what's in my head and put it on paper, bruv. Yeah. You get me? And if that's what's in their mind and that, right, let them write it, fam. Yeah. You get me?
So we spoke with Noodles, which was when last week, and on that, like, one of the things that come up was like purists and evolution and how both need to respect each other. If you're a purist, which is fucking nothing wrong with, and you're creating and holding a culture dear to your heart, but you need to respect people that are evolving. You need to expect the evolution on people's creativity.
Yeah, of course.
And if you're evolving in that, you also need to respect these purists of where it's
and the other
this.
Point of that is, where did your purist come from?
Exactly. Exactly. You have to listen to someone.
Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah. So everything comes from somewhere.
Exactly, man.
Yeah. It's, So it's, so where are we going to? Writing. Yeah, so piano. So you like, from that, from your goal is to be able to write for people. That's what you, that's what you see yourself as, your main.
No, I wouldn't say my main. I wouldn't say
more of it.
Yeah,
From like a work practice.
Yeah, so like, listen, I say this all the time. Like, I'm already a music. I'm already working. I'm a working musician. I'm a working actor. You get me? Like,
yeah.
I don't. This is what I do. You get me? I wake up, I go to sleep, I do music. You get what I'm trying to say? But obviously, as more of like a income thing, because it's a thing as well. Like people say, what you're trying to be a musician, or you're trying to be an actor.
I know I am.
No, I am. Like because I'm not like. It's like being an apprentice, bruv. You get me? You got people that work in a bank and are on £400 and they're working 60 hours a week or whatever the fuck they're doing. You get me? I'm doing the same thing. I'm a musician, but I just haven't had the income yet it hasn't come, but I feel like...
No, it's like, I remember having this conversation before and they were like, and then I said it. I was like, well, no, actually. And it was the same thing. It was like, no, I am.
I am, bruv.
I am. I mean, it's like fucking... I may not be fucking... But that's the trouble. And it's like, with anything in life, people see the fucking... The heights of like that and it's like, that's what people is like, it's like, no, there's a lot under that,
bruv. Like, and you know what? Like, people forget that. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember the first time I got played on the radio on BBC for my track Alone with our artist called Chelsea. Sick, like, yeah, she's really talented artist. Big up Chelsea, bro. The amount of people that started to message man and was like, oh my god, like man, you was on BBC and I was like, bro, I've been doing this, you get me? Like, I've been doing this. Like, it's not that doesn't impress me, like, bro. Like, the whole like all that recognition shit, that's not why I do music. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't do it for the clout, I don't do it for the likes, I don't do it because I want bare gallon jewelry, and I don't do it for that, bro. Like, that will come,
you love it.
But I do it because I've got a passion for it. You get me? And I feel like everybody has their time. You get me? Everybody has their time, brother. And I feel like people that do music these days, a lot of people, even some of the artists I've worked with, like, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're doing it to be this guy, and that's why you're not getting anywhere. You get what I'm trying to say?
It's like anything in life, isn't it? It's like if you're putting something heart. So I remember Alan Watts said it, and it was fucking, it's like when he said, like, he'd ask his students and shit, he'd say, what do you want to be? And they'd say, I want to be a writer, I want to be a poet, like, you know, all these kind of things. And he'd say to them, he'd say, just do that. Like, just do that. These are people like that, what they're all passionate about. He says, just do that. Don't worry about the money. The money will come. The money will come later. He said, just do that. You won't earn fuck all, you just, but if you master that, eventually you'll become a fucking master of your craft, no matter what it is you're doing. People will start paying and it will come, but you just need to fucking stick to it. And I think that's the half the battle of anyone in anything in life. If like, oh, it's not what you mean, it's like fucking, it's just like having that fucking tenacity, is that the word?
Trust.
To fucking persevere and just turn up. I mean, cause again, you have to love it. You have to love it, especially in an industry like music, because we all know that Spotify streams don't fucking
pay. They don't pay.
You can do. You look at Russ. He's making fucking smacking. There are ways to make money, and you can.
You just need to. And it took. Look how long it took him. Fan base, and then you need to just put the work rate in.
Right.
The currency as well.
But the thing is,
so much
people
music.
Don't understand how much goes into even making one song, let alone a project. Like, bro, from writing the lyrics to getting the beat and then recording that shit, itself.
It's like, if you're mixing and mastering it yourself as well, it's again like you like,
or sending it to someone, like, you get me, you send it to someone, they send it back, it's like, that don't quite sound right, tweak it, especially if they're not in the same room. So, you know what I mean? Like, where it takes a lot of effort, do you get what I'm trying to say? Then to get your streams,
the video,
everything.
So the video, it's like, it depends on how hard. Do you know what? I remember back in, it was after I did I Love You Baby No Daddy back in 2014. Because I was so hands on with the video, it almost put me off doing videos ever again, because that was fucking hard work. Outcome was good, but fucking like the planning and the fucking it was like, whoa, like the use less of like a
man, you got a proper plan. And you know what, I'm proper like picky about my music videos, like if you check out my music videos, you'll see like there's always a story behind it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like in Therapy, I was playing like four different characters, because obviously like I do acting, you know what I'm saying? So I think about how it's going to look visually, you know what I'm saying? And like In the video, I'm playing like four different kind of sides. So like, I guess four different kinds of I went for like four different kinds of mental health. You get me? So obviously, you get me, the depressed, the anger. You get me, the kind of just like, you know, when you just had enough, bro, and you're just kind of like, you're just crazy, bro. You get me? Like you just wanna, you could kill someone. Fam, like, I went through all these different emotions and put them into my music videos, and that, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not gonna lie, like, I enjoy that part, but. That's because I'm always I'm trying to tell a story with the music videos. You get me? But the video shoots are lit, man. Like every time after video shoots and that, like I cook for everyone. So like You get me? Like, I'll make like some food.
Oh yeah, you're into cooking like me as well.
Yeah,
isn't
man. You, come on, cook a guy. Come on, fam.
Come on.
Do you know what? I think food is the one thing that can that brings any human together and anything in the world.
100%.
That is something. Yeah, but like before that. Like you think cavemen, food. Like everything that goes back to you, as soon as we learn how to fucking light that fire and someone, however they worked out to fucking cook on that fire.
Yeah.
That thing. Like it's true. Food. The whole world should be fed. And the one thing like they say is like, if you're in a starving population, you have no music, right. You have no science, have no fashion, you have fuck all, because your mind is worrying about where your next meal's coming from. Yeah. You have a fed population, that is when you have art, culture. That is when you have culture, and that comes from it. So without
that's
that food,
real shit, fam.
You ain't got fuck all.
Yeah, that's true.
Real shit, fam.
That's
and
true.
You know what? As well, like. Cooking for people, like cooking and like that's something that comes from, you get me, like,
mate,
I don't know, like,
soul. That's, bro, mate, that's soul. I feel
maybe
it,
I don't know, maybe man, obviously I'm like my family's Caribbean, you get me, like, bro, every Sunday, bro,
yeah,
you
that's
get me?
A cooking
we go church, come home, grandma will start cooking at like 5 a.m.
This is what I'm like,
5 a.m.
cook all day,
it's mad. She wake up, boom, start like take out the water from the soak beans, start cooking the rice, like, so by the time I used to wake up,
buy a pressure cooker, man.
But it's the authenticity, bro.
Yeah.
You get me?
Of course.
It's the authenticity, fam. She be there, and it's mad. Like, you look back, like, I look at that now, and I feel, that's like, I'm a like old soul. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, them sort of things.
Again,
like,
you are that bridge between
the,
that the bridge. It's true. Old. It's true. It's just, for me, like, cooking is, like, you get me? That's meaningful. Like, rather than, I could order in a couple pizzas and give it to the people. But if you've took time out, whether it's the cameraman, the sound, you get me? My manager, the stylist, whoever's involved in the project, if you've took time out of your day to come and help me, the least I can do is cook for them. You know what I'm trying to say. And I enjoy it. That's my way of giving back. You get me? Man. Whether they get paid or not. Like, I mean, I don't know how that's going to be when
like,
I.
It's like, they say, like, it's like if someone's ever been in a guest house, like if you've ever been a guest in my house and you leave and you leave hungry, then I haven't done my job as a host.
Trust.
If you leave my house, if you leave my house and you have to go and like order some food or something on the way home, I haven't done my job as a host.
It's true, fam.
Yeah, it's true. And food is at the heart of everything. It's like, for me, especially at the moment with children, it's like, because I work shifts as well, so it's like, if I'm not there in the evening, having that one meal a day, sat down as a family where you can fucking
discuss. It's important, man.
It is important.
It's important, man.
It's massively important.
Instead of sitting in front of a blood clot TV.
Yeah. Fam, I never had that, you know.
No, like, I didn't either.
Growing up, I never had that, fam. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, obviously, on a Sunday, at my grandma's, like, but even then, the older ones sit in the living room, you get me, the grandchildren will sit on the table, you get me, so it'd be me and my cousins, you get me, will be on the table. But, like, on a daily basis, fam, like, growing up, like, never had that, fam. Like, my mum and dad, you get me, were always kind of like together, not together, all that kind of fuckery. Yeah. So, like, you get me, it was kind of a weird situation there.
Yeah.
So then, obviously, we never, and then when they were, like, all good and that, you get me, like, we never had that, like, sit down at a table and think. No. So, when I got older now, and the first brother, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, up until like teenage things, I had never seen like a successful marriage, bro. Like a successful, like, like, your parents are together, they're still together. That's mad. Like, you get me? And I said to one of my brethren, Max, shout out to Julia as well, like, his family became so close, like, so close for me, because I used to go there and be like, rah, like, so what? When I grew up, that weren't normal, fam.
Yeah,
like, you get me? That weren't normal. Yeah. And they sat down, you get me? They would talk, you get me? They would all sit down together, eat, you get me? I'd see the relationship that his parents had.
Yeah.
And that was like, almost like, right, like that. That's how it should be. You get me?
See, I was lucky, man, because like my mum and dad's still together. Like,
yeah,
you know,
see,
I mean?
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's good. Like, they are like, I owe everything to them.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I fully understand that now as a grown man. I tell my little sister who's like 16, I'm like, they are everything. Trust me, like,
trust.
Because,
you know,
I grew up step family, all that sort of shit. So it's like, again, like, you look at other people around and it's like, and I always used to be like, I don't give a fuck about marriage, but now having kids and stuff, and this shit here is right, really important. And it grows important, trust. Me in my 20s couldn't really give a fuck, like, and I thought marriage was fucking a waste of space and all that sort of shit, like, obviously, and you grow into it, and it's like, nah, it's a fucking, because we got engaged the last year, was it? I don't
Come
know.
On.
Yeah, but it's, you mean, it's like, we've been together for 10 years though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we're doing it like in a long way. It's like, I said, like, probably be 10 years by the time we actually get right to the wedding,
But it's that whole thing, man. It's very special. And you know what? I feel like it's not as common as people think. Mm. You get me? People think, oh, yeah, you get me? Like, oh, your mum and dad are together. These days, fam, it's like, right, your parents are still together. Yeah. Like, that's an achievement, fam. Yeah. You get me?
It is, definitely, like, man.
Because it takes work.
Yeah, no, and of course it does.
It's like,
because once you go through that honeymoon period, that's when the work begins.
Real facts. You know what I mean? That's why I think as well, it's like doing things of like, it is better to wait for too long.
Yeah.
Because, like,
you can iron out all your problems.
You know what I mean? You've lived together already. Mm. You've done all this shit. It's like, well, like, not just get married. It's like, fucking. Then you're like, fuck. Actually, I realise I don't like you.
Yeah, you're a dick.
Like you know, you do that thing.
You know that. There's always one thing, bro.
That thing that you used to really like me doing.
Yeah.
Like, fucking pisses me off.
I tolerated it. You feel me? Like, I didn't want to say anything too early, but that actually pisses me off.
Yeah.
Do you know what? While I'm at it, I fucking don't like this either. Or that.
Oh, and then it becomes like a competition. They're like, well, you know what you do?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit.
Here we go.
Oopsie.
Do I leave now? Yeah. Trust me.
But it is, it's like anything like that. It's like, take work. I remember talking to him, Sean, and it's like, whatever you put your time and effort into is what will fucking grow.
Yeah.
Trust.
And like, if you, like, the kids, I remember like the last year, like, fucking slam the music. And then, like, Carvel come up to me recently. He said, fucking, all you do is sit on that computer. I was like, oh, that hurts. Like, do you mean, like, fucking,
Ruh,
so, like, yeah. Consciously, like, recently I've been like, fucking, like, okay, no, I need to fucking make an effort.
Yeah.
Like, when Noodles was on, we're saying the same thing. It's like, you love your passion, but it's like, no, you can't fucking let things fucking slip around
it's
you.
True,
you
know, man. I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's balance. With everything balance, bro. Yeah, literally, man. I was just about to say that, like, you've always got to take time for other things. You get me? I think you get, especially something like music or arts things, like, it takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
So you end up surrounding yourself around it so much that, like, you get me? Like, Sundays normally is the day where it's a chill thing. It's with family, you get me? Like, I relax, you get me? And etc. But you get me? Now and then, there might be a certain time where it's like, you get me? My manager calls me up, it's like, yo, fam, like, do you mind? Yeah, do this and that. But these days, like, I lock that off and, like, nah, Sunday's my day of rest. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, that's good.
That's important.
It is as well. You need to recoup.
Because, like, I've done that recently. So, basically, for the last sort of like 2 years, I've been fucking on it. I've been doing everything myself. I've got no management, got no fuck all. I literally do everything.
Yeah.
And I did this thing. I did 100 days of daily bars and I documented my writing every day.
Yeah.
I vlogged it and fucking the relentlessness of that. And then I was putting pressure on myself that I have to release a song every single day. It's got to be done. And it fucking took the fun out of it.
Yeah.
It was like, this, I'm like a fucking robot. I'm not writing music now because it's like, and I was like, so like the last sort of like really toned off of the social media and shit, like the last, just to fucking create that spark and it's back. Like, do you know, I mean, I've been writing fucking stuff, but I haven't been putting my pressure. It's like, this needs to be done by this day. It's like, let's write this because this is fucking interesting. I like where I'm going, I'm exploring this. You mean, it's like what you were saying about it being creative and like it being like, that's come from your soul.
You're
putting your pressure
on
it, it's like to write. And like, that's why differentiating what you were saying with like the writing for other people, you just write the songs, maybe set that there, but then when you're writing your shit, like, no, that kind does need, you. It needs
trust,
to be,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
And when you're recording that shit as well, like that, you know when that shit hits, you get me? Like, when you go into the booth and you spit something that you, like, you're like, rah, you get me? Tearless was like that, bro. When I recorded Tearless, fam, it was me, the engineer, my manager, and we're in there, fam, and like, after I recorded that, everyone was just silent, fam. Like, I was like, rah, was that a good take? My manager was like, rah, like, man's got goose, like, that was a mad thing, like, you get me? Sick. And I was like, I'm glad you're on a winner, felt that.
And you know the ones as well, it's like, yeah, give me a bounce of that straight away when you get in the car. And listen over, and again.
Literally, fam, you want to bounce that shit, like, yo.
I don't care, I don't need the mix, just bounce it so I can listen to it.
I was like, it's going to be serious, fam.
That's what Super Best Friends was like for me, I think.
Yeah,
because you come with that, and I wrote some dead fucking bar on it, man.
Yeah.
And he come with his verse, and I was like,
my mother changed that.
I was like, I'm not putting my verse on now, I'm rewriting that shit. Rewrite it. I was like,
but that's
like,
a good thing,
good,
fam.
Yeah, it's good.
That's a good thing.
To be inspired,
man.
This
is all right.
Appleton Estate, bro. Listen, that's a sip. I'm straight rum. That's all I drink, bro.
Yeah, I'm a gin guy normally, but
you're a gin man.
You're moving
yeah.
me back on.
Mate, we had Bella on for the viewers. For the fuck me.
A few weeks ago.
It was a few weeks ago, but we had her on. She come on and she's she represents like the Tribe of Indies, which is basically an they're a company that represent independent drink brands. So she brought on. Mate, the table was lined
it was
up.
Like five gins and two vodkas.
And that one went on. Normally these are an hour.
No, seven gins and two vodkas.
Yeah. So normally these episodes are an hour. And she come on, and Costa goes hours up. It's like now we're carrying on. And it went for an hour and 40 minutes. And we were twatting.
Yeah.
We were fucked.
But like that's coming out tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not you listening and watching, but yeah.
Just coming out ages ago.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a fun one, man. It was like fucking...
Yeah, that was
funny.
Because
it was hot as well. Costa set up.
And oh, shit. Yeah, so it was that vibe,
lean. It was the last one of the day. So like she come on and we just fucking lined him up. And we were just like, yeah.
Yeah, bruv.
Yeah.
The heat gets you, fam. Listen, I went to a barbecue recently. And bro... I was on a different vibe, man. Like, do you know them ones, bruv? Like, I don't really like, because obviously it's been COVID now, so man ain't really had time to, you get me? Like, I only really drink, if I drink, it's not for a reason, you get me? Like, if I'm vibing, I'm vibing, you get me?
For us.
Bro.
You don't just go and get a beer out of the fridge on a Tuesday at home.
Not really that, you get me? I might have a little one, two, you get me? Smoke or whatever, not really. But that day, fam, like, people kept coming up to me like, "Run, you rolling another thing?" Like, and I'm like, leave me to do my
thing.
Bruv, when it got to like 6, fam, the heat, bro, and that shit, that just sends you're like, rah, I'm fresh.
Fucked.
Realization, fam.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it like where you've gone to like them like rough cider type farms, like fucking you sit there and it's like, it's the sun's blazing, and you sit there and like, you aren't out of piss yet, but yeah, you've had like 3 or 4 pints, and you got to stand up and like that
sun's
and you got to get up and you're like, fuck me, my legs.
Sway, a bit.
Where's the next one?
Mate, that's what it's like for everyone at the moment. Because obviously you're sat down, you're not going to the bar, you're sat down, drink, you stand up, boom!
Yeah.
I've seen so many gallers like, stand up, bam, pull a table over on top of them. I'm like, this is jokes.
Yeah. People are gagging for it though, man.
Yeah.
They're fucking gagging for it. People just want to fucking hug it out in a field, man.
Yeah, I do.
They just want to dance. They want to stomp. They want to fucking just...
They want to be like the people at the rave.
Do you know what I mean?
Swaying,
do you mean they want to... People just want that fucking...
It's coming, man. It'll come.
Yeah.
Do you mean like we're humans? We're social creatures, man. We fucking...
It's true.
Oh, do you know what, actually? Let's talk about... Do you not have like a lot to do... Dog shite. Do you not have a lot to do with Wobble and Bass?
So obviously Wobble and Bass, we're still going, innit? Yeah. Like, so obviously that's how it started, bro.
I need to book you guys again.
Yeah, so. Bro, that's literally how it started. So obviously the guy Zico, who owns Wobble and Bass, you get me, that's his thing,
right?
But like we all kind of help. It's like a real collective thing. It's a family thing, you get me. We all help, but he worked hard on that shit. You know what I'm saying? And he was the one who approached me and was like, yo, because we worked together, innit? And he was like, yo, like, do you want to spit like for me on this rave thing? And this was at Basement 45, bro, in Bristol.
In Bristol,
And I was like, that's what, like I said earlier, innit? Like, obviously, I'd never spat on it, etc. And then from that, bro, like, it was just a thing, like, right, like, yeah, let's keep doing it. And then we found like a venue. It was called Nest at the time. It's closed now. And we just got kind of a good name for ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
You did, man.
We still are, like, we still got a good name for ourselves, but it's a thing. So I kind of, it's weird because I got a little fan base from drum and bass that know me from Wobble and Bass, and then the people that know me from my UK rap stuff. But yeah, man, Wobble and Bass is still going. And bro, I can't lie, man, through them and Wobble and Bass and stuff, like, I've been able to do some crazy things. Like, you know, I performed in Amsterdam with them. We performed in Budapest. I've emceed for DJs like Serum, who's like one of the biggest drum and bass DJs in the world. Like, you get me, like Kings of the Rollers and that. AC13, like so many different DJs, bro, that came all from...
That
someone asking me, yo, would you spit on drum and bass?
Yeah.
And me not being, closed off, closed-minded off that shit.
It's the
It's or the, a purist.
It's yeah, or a purist. It's like the Richard Branson thing, isn't it? He's like, fucking, if someone gives you an opportunity and you don't know what the fuck you're doing, take it and worry about it later.
Yeah.
Like, just do it. It's like if it's like someone offers you a job to doing something, and that's like you're like, yeah, that could be cool. Fucking do it.
Yeah.
Learn how to do it afterwards.
Yeah.
Don't fucking say, oh, I don't know because I can't do it. Just fucking take
just
the opportunity.
Do it. Trust me.
I mean, because it's like we spoke to Noodles earlier, and we're talking about like right places, right time, and how many people could have gone through things, but it's just like fucking
luck.
Luck at the right place, luck of talking to the right person.
Trust
and
me.
Not it's not just luck, obviously.
No. Of course.
But it's like it's the fact of like going, yeah, fuck it, I'm going.
Do you know what? I heard this quote, yeah, I think it was Denzel Washington, I was watching his speech, and he said like, there's no such thing as luck. Luck is just an opportunity that you're prepared for.
Yeah, literally, you get me.
If you're prepared for that shit, and it goes back to working on your craft, you get me, and doing that. Like, if you're prepared for that, boom, like it's for you, you got what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, man.
So I guess like, if I weren't always freestyling with the man them back in the day, you get me outside my arties and that artie coming out cussing us, bruv. It's 10 o'clock. You man are going in, blood, stopping up people, going veins popping out and that, fam. Like, you get me? But if it weren't for that, you get me? Like, maybe, right, maybe I wouldn't have been able to do that. You get me? So it all, man, it all.
I think as well, you listen to a lot of people that are very successful in what they do and they love what they do. A lot of them have all got that story. They've all got the resemblances of like, well, I did this and did this and did this and it nerding and then it just like fucking, do you know what I mean? Like and if I didn't show up that one day, that wouldn't have happened. It's like,
this person.
So The Undertaker was a good one. The Undertaker said he turned up to this wrestling place for fucking, I think he said it was like 9 months.
What, the Undertaker, man, like, you know.
Do you know what I mean? And he's like, he said he turned up to this place for like, I think it was 9 months. Every day, 9 months, stood there. I'm like, fucking, oh, he's there again. He's like, fucking, he said, it turned out the last day, he said he was just about, he's living in his car. And fuck all, he said, that last day, like, turned out, he goes, I almost didn't. He's like, right, so it's better fucking go and do something else. Turned out that one day, he goes, you, come here, come get in the ring. Fucking put a ring, boom, happened.
That's it, end off.
There was that fucking Robert.
That's sick.
Yeah, Robert Kiyosaki, I remember reading in his book, he was saying, I think it was him. But anyway, whoever it is, like the same sort of thing, they were like, he wanted to learn finance and we're going to the finance world. And he said he turned up to this bloke and managed to get into the elevator of like, he knew when the bloke was coming out because he couldn't get a meeting with the guy because this guy's like fucking, do you mean?
So high up.
So he hung out and he knew when he'd leave and he clocked and he stood by the elevator and he goes, yeah, you've got fucking like 1 minute or whatever to talk to me.
Yeah.
And he goes, right, I'm flying to fucking here tomorrow. Meet me at the airport at this time.
That was it. That's what Obi Trice did it as well.
Yeah,
didn't
he? He was like, do I turn to the airport? He goes, I turned up the airport and he goes, the fucking best decision I ever made.
Yeah,
this guy took me under his wing, taught me everything about fucking the finance world and
stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, Obi Trice did it to Eminem as well in the limo, innit?
Stuck his head in the limo and started spitting at M and he was like, get in.
Yeah. Like, there was that guy as well, I seen him doing it to Kanye. Pull Kanye up on the side of the street.
Big Sean done that. Like, Big Sean, like, was waiting for Kanye, boom, spat.
Yeah,
is
Big
it?
Sean. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, Big Sean's hard,
bro. Big Sean, for he's so underrated, fam.
His flow pattern, bro. Yeah, he's mad.
Like
his verse, right? When Control came out,
Oh, shit.
And everyone was going mad about the Kendrick verse. I was like, it's good. I was like, mate, Big Sean's verse on Control is fucking sick.
It is sick, but I still think Kendrick can't shine him.
Yeah, of course he did.
It's Kendrick, isn't it?
Kendrick.
Like, yeah, but I feel like because Kendrick went so hot, if any other artist was on that track, it would have been Big Sean.
Yeah,
you get me? Like, it would have been Big Sean's track. You get me? But now, Big Sean's a big underrated rapper, man, for me. Like, you get me? Big underrated rapper, but
because he think goes so into a lot like of the mental there health are. Stuff as
it's
well.
It's like, it's
trust.
I think now it's like the amount of rappers there are in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
trust. Loads. And you have to be like, this is the thing, is you have to find what are you slightly different at,
you
get me?
Yeah. What's your niche? Like, yeah, what's yourself. Your niche? Like, don't, like, we said it on the Noodles episode, like, don't sound like them.
Nah, that's them.
And I think the earlier you can do that as an artist, the better. Because it takes trial and error. You've got to try, you've got to copy, you've got to do this, and then you've got to, like, kind of work it out. But the sooner and earlier.
Trust. And everyone, like I said, everyone has their time, bruv. Like, you get me? Right now, it's the, you get me, the trap melodic, talking, mumbling up foolishness. It works. You get me? For some man, you get me? You got that vibe going on. You got, obviously, the drill vibes popping. Yeah. You get me? But slowly, I feel like now.
The hip hop's coming back. The rap shit is always going to stay around.
Yeah, Zelda's.
This is what I'm saying, right? And do you know what's mad, yeah? So, as a. this is what baffles me, right? When I speak to people, I'll let you listen to hip-hop and that. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they tell me people they listen to, and I'm like, oh, have you heard, like, anyone from Griselda, like West Side Gun or anything? Mm. They're like, no. Mm. And I'm like, you have got a treasure trove.
Yeah, yeah.
Of Batcat to work through. Mm. And it's like, when people go, it's like, there's a dude that I've been listening to recently, ignorant shit, man. Key Glock, Memphis rap, proper violent shit.
Yeah.
He is fucking cold, bro. Mm. Like, the beats are sick. But, like, I just randomly found him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, that's why, like, these unknown people.
Spotify gets a bad rap from artists, man.
I like Spotify's algorithm.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was about to go on to. Because it's like, from the musician, it's like, you're underpaid. It's like, well, are you underpaid or are you not fucking, like, because, like, the people who argue, like, so I'm going to sign like a knob now because I'm going to argue on Spotify's case. I don't like Daniel Ek, but you look at it from this perspective. The artists that are moaning they're not getting paid from Spotify are the same artists that wouldn't have got paid if they had CDs.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got a fan base.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? If you haven't got a big enough fan base, you're not going to sell the CDs.
No.
So what makes you think that Spotify are going to fucking pay you loads of fucking streams for
nothing?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
And it's that argument for it. But, like, do you mean it's...
Yeah, yeah, it's mad though, isn't it?
And like, as well, look at it, like, you, Napster, like, people weren't paying fuck all.
No.
People were doing shit legally.
Nah.
You're not getting something.
Yeah.
Like, we might edge the door. But it's mad how the music industry's changed because, like, we used to, like, artists used to do shit to be able to sell their records.
Yeah.
Now they make music to advertise what they're selling.
Yeah. Trust.
Yeah. It's gone the other way. Do you know
Do you know the thing as well? Like, I say to people all the time, like, once you bring out a track, I know people that just drop a track, yeah, no promotion behind it. I'm not talking about fucking Instagram ads and Facebook ads and chucking however much money they do into that. I'm talking about just doing little shit. Mm. Like the other day, fam, I went round Bath, yeah. I went round Bath literally with a camera, yeah. Like me and my girlfriend, bruv, you get me? Mm. Me and my missus, fam, like, went round with a fucking camera, blood, yeah. And we just film it. Like, I was like, I had headphones. I said, yo, listen to my new track. Mm. Put them in the headphones, just film their reaction.
Yeah, you
get me?
That's done a good
that,
idea, that's cool,
yeah,
man.
Just film my reaction. Another thing we done was like, you get me? Like, obviously, I was trying to sell my track in it. I was like, right, like, it's 99p, fam. If I asked you for 99p, yeah, you would probably give it to man. Ooh. You get me? Yeah. Like, if you bought milk or you bought eggs or you bought fucking bread, yeah, you'll do it. So I done this thing. I done, like, this little reel. You get me? I was like, this is 99p. This is 99p. So you can buy my track. But people don't want to. You get me? People don't want to. Like, you have to promote your shit, fam.
Yeah.
Like, and not rely on, even if you are signed or got publishing deal, whatever, you gotta do it yourself, bro. Because when people see you pushing it,
yeah, man,
people get excited.
We spoke about this the other week.
Yeah,
we spoke about this every week, and we were saying about, I think it was the dad bod episode, wasn't it? And we spoke about
the Gats rollout.
How
really
we
good.
Used to had the back in the day when you go in town and people were shopping CDs.
Yeah.
And it was like now someone come up to me and was trying to shop me a CD in town. I'd be like, oh, you're a person. You're not some guy fucking
there,
like,
you go,
trying to,
have
like,
some money.
DM me on Instagram. You're a person. Like, yeah, I'll fucking buy your CD.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's like. And it's like the same as like going to a show. You go to a show, you speak to real people.
Yeah.
Social media is great. Mm. It's fucking fantastic. And as an artist, you've never had more tools at your disposal to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need to fucking meet people for real.
100%.
Like what you're doing, and that's a fantastic thing. And I think I might nick that idea.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
I was like, man, like, bruh, like, I want to get all different people. You get me to listen to my shit. I even bumped into this. It was like this. BBC journalist, bruv.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like this journalist guy. So I'm like, tall, you get me? Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, like, you know, proper white daddy. Like, what sort of music is it? I was like, listen, whatever you feel like it is, it is, you get me? But listen to my track. And he was like, right, I quite like it. Like, and it was like, you wouldn't have listened to my music if I weren't out there giving it to you.
Yeah.
But right 100%. Now, I've opened up a new, he might go back and show it to someone and be like, right, you get me? So it's.
He might have a nephew or something to
into
it.
Yeah, exactly.
He might even think, you know what, I like that song.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I've got different music for different kinds of people.
You know, as well, it's like what you did, I think you can also like do it from the perspective of like, rather than even asking people to go out for 99p, you could just go around to people and go, listen to my song. Do you like it? What platform are you on?
Yeah.
Can you share that to there from that platform for me now?
Yeah.
Bro, I do all that. Like, obviously, you know, like, it weren't like a thing like, right, so you like it, buy it. But it was the kind of thing of, listen to that. Like, listen to it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Because I feel like you could post up anything on social media. I don't know. I could post up fucking me with a chicken bone in my mouth, skin and teeth, fam. Yeah. And people will be like it, it's funny or whatever. You post up something that's actually like, mean it, like my music thing.
No one gives a fuck. You won't get much likes, bro.
It's weird, bro. You won't get much likes, fam. And it's like, right, but you're the same people.
Stories. If you put up something of a mishap, or like, as an example, yeah, I got a stick going through air.
Yeah, yeah.
I had more responses about that than any music thing I've ever done.
I think there's two parts of that. I do think that Instagram, being a business model that it is, knows when you're pushing music and knows when you're putting live stuff. They do know that. And they will push your live stuff. So you say you get engaged, for example.
Yeah.
They're going to push that shit out. If you're putting your personal music, they're like, right, okay, this is a business opportunity here.
Sneakily.
This is a business opportunity here. Yeah, attach shit to shit without it being shit.
Exactly.
But like, if you're pushing it directly, they're going to be like, okay, this music here, we want them to put this out. And how many other people are also pushing that out? And how many people, who do they put it in front of?
Yeah.
So it's tough. And as well, from the consumer point of view, when you're looking from that side, it's like, it takes a lot, because these social media companies are really good at keeping people on their platforms.
They have departments
of people just designing what color font is most likely to keep people on this platform for longer. It goes that deep. So to get someone to stop scrolling in their tracks and go, oh, and then not just that, it takes them a lot to just double click to like, to comment even harder, but then to get them to go off the platform
and listen
onto another platform. That's like, and if you can get them to do that, and it's like when people are like, oh, some people might say like, oh, I only got 10 streams. It's like, you managed to get 10 people to go and listen to your track. Like, feel proud.
Yeah. Bro, real facts. I say that all the time, bro. Like, I look and I'm like, rah, like, Therapy's got like 17,000 people have played that shit. Yeah. Like, they've listened to me, fam. Yeah. Like, that's a big achievement. And I feel like people always, they always want the big achievements. You get me, the awards, this, that. It, like, that's all good. And that will come if you work hard enough. But it's the little achievements, bro. Like, you get me? And it's not about, like I said, for me personally anyway, some people really care about that shit because that's why they're in it. They want to make money. They want to, and that's cool. You get me? I won't say I look down on people that do that. But for me, it's not because of that.
Definitely.
Have you ever seen the art with the two ladders? And it's like your goals, and so like one ladder's got lots of like little steps, right? And it's like the man climbing the ladder, and he's nearly at the top because he's climbing these little steps. And then the other ladder is like goals, and someone set like loads of big goals, and he's trying to still jump and pull up to the first goal because he hasn't set all those little steps to get there. You need to
the foundations.
And it's like fucking, there's only so many times you can try and pull yourself up. And it's like, how many more of them you got to pull up? It's like, those little small wins that does. You mean it's like,
yeah, man.
And it's the journey.
Yeah, of course.
Like, learn like anything. Like,
and you got to enjoy that shit.
So,
well,
have you, talking about the journey, right? So, have you heard, I know you probably haven't, but have you heard the new Charlie Sloth drop, the Flavors thing?
What, the...
With some kid that's never made a song ever in his life.
Oh, he done like a fire in the booth, was it?
Nah, so basically, he made a song, this kid made a song, 18, called Flavors. Randomly was in a studio with Charlie and the Sloth. Charlie and the Sloth. Mate, that's hitting me, man.
That's like a Roald Dahl
novel. it's the Appleton, bro.
It's hitting me, man. Yeah, and he's in the studio. He's like, oh, let me play you a tune. He was like, I think you'll like it. And basically, he played him this tune, and he was like, yeah, it was big. It was hard. So now, he's got this mad fucking, like, mad video. The video is mental.
Crazy.
The kids are 18, bruv. Bear gal in the video, Charlie Sloth, money is in it. Yeah, and it's like, where's the journey? Because they were saying this about the drill artists, yeah? So, you look at Grime, right? Grime started with the pirate radio and on the streets and barring, like you were saying, stood outside auntie spitting bars, yeah? I don't see drill man them doing that.
I think with a lot of new genres now, I remember watching Kano talking in an interview, and he said the trouble is now as well, everything's watched. Like, I mean, you put something out, it's out for the world to see. He said they were doing grime fucking sets and grime raves, and he goes, you fuck up, it don't matter. No one's watching you.
It's true.
There's a room for people. Because now you put something up, say that shit goes, it's like, it's kind of out your hands. Once you put that online, that's there. Like,
you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. So I think with that, and it's like the birth of anything, but like, Yeah.
But artists do, like, nowadays, like I think before, like, when we were first learning music, it was like, we knew about fucking Boy Better Know.
Mm.
Like, before they were like, Boy Better Know. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now, artists just seem to pop out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, bam. Yeah. Who's this kid?
Yeah.
I think.
Do you think that makes throwaway music?
Do you know what I think? Yeah, I think it's two things. I think one is what you said earlier about there's so many artists.
Mm.
You can't keep. You get.
Can't keep up.
You can't keep up with all these different artists from all these different areas making music. So if you listen to them and you find them early, you might see their come up. You get me?
Yeah.
And another thing I think as well, like another reason is just people want to get there straight away. Mm. They don't want to put the work in. This is what I'm trying to say. They're trying to make the song that blows, not make music. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like, not just make music. Like, and you know what? I'll hold my hands up. I've done that one time. Oh, yeah. And that was my song called Bad One, right? What I should have done was after I dropped Therapy, I dropped Bad One.
Yeah.
So I've dropped two conscious rap tracks and then I've dropped Bad One.
Yeah.
Did you turn a lot of people off?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I feel like I ended up
losing people.
I have given myself a setback. Yeah. Get me? I ended up setting myself back because I was trying to get that vibe of, I want this to get played in a club. I want to rate it and all this and that. When really, if I stuck to what I was doing, stuck to my path, you get what I'm trying to say, then I would have maybe been a bit further than I am now. But then I brought it back with Alone. I got a girl on it. It was still a bit different, but it was more what they were used to. And you see that.
The other beauty with that, though, is like doing it when you did. And early. Not later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't want to turn a load of people off later on.
Yeah.
Like, you learned from that at the beginning. And that's why I think it's good to make the mistakes early.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's like fucking,
I guess you learn, innit?
Yeah.
4 minutes.
4 minutes.
Let me do these ones.
All right. I was going to water. Oh, yeah, go on. I was going to sleep more. So, just come back on again another time.
Yeah. We'll get you back on when you've got more drops and stuff.
Come on, yeah, man. 100%.
So basically, we do this thing called One's Gotta Go.
All right, cool.
Where we ask you, like one's just got to fuck off and die and never come back.
Say nothing.
What the rass all is that? Here we go. All right, cool. So, quick fire as well, D&B or hip hop?
One's gotta go.
Whoa, straight away like that. Listen, very close, you get me, don't you get me? Wobble and bass, I love you guys, innit? But that's gotta bounce still.
Do you know what? Jaffa went, no, my man will say drum and bass all day. He was like, drum and bass will have to stay.
Like, nah, do you know what it is? Like, hip hop is the tree of all kinds of things.
Stuff,
do you get me? There's culture. Underneath that, fam. Yeah. You got bare branches. You get me? You got trap. You know, all that rap. UK rap.
It's fucking, too much.
You get me?
To get
all
rid
kinds.
Of.
You can't. But drum and bass. Listen, like, I just got. You get me?
Yeah.
It's not a personal. Like, you feel me?
All right, Cole or Kendrick?
Woo! This is questions are hard, fam. Bro, I love both, man. I'd say Kendrick, just because Cole's more consistent. Like, Cole will drop and keep dropping, and you know what I mean? I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, for that reason. But I feel like they're both getting same lane.
Yeah,
but I would say Kendrick, just because of the consistency. But who knows what he's doing behind the scenes.
So Kendrick's got to go,
Kendrick's got to go.
Kendrick's gone. All right, I'm going to change this because you said that you're a rum drinker. So I'm going to say Appleton's a rare nephew.
Appleton's, bro.
What, staying?
Stay.
Yeah, of course. Bun Ray, man.
I like Ray.
I don't like him.
I like Ray, but shit, like, every time I've sipped Ray, bruv, I just go blind, fam. Yeah. you get it? Like, man will drink that, and then it would just get to a certain point in the night where it's like, yo, fam, do you remember when you done that? I was like, what?
And then Ray brought the equivalent, Dominican Republic's equivalent of that back.
Yeah.
And like, fucking, it took me fucking so long. It was deadlier. Fam. It was worse.
Yeah.
Because it didn't taste as nice either.
Yeah.
And it just took fucking
months
to drink. That's the
thing, because Ray and Nephew actually tastes all right, fam. Yeah.
Nah, right. So, I'll tell you what you need to try. You need to try Cut Overproof, yeah? Okay. So, it's Cut Rum. And it's 78%. or 75%, so it's more than Ray, but it's spiced. So you sip it, you've got no moisture left in your mouth, but then you get this caramel and banana and cinnamon like coming through on the aftertaste, and it's, you can drink it. It's really nice to drink, like, you know. Draw or grime?
I'm going to say...
Come with the right answer.
I'm going to say grime.
Stay. Yeah. What? It's going?
Nah, stay in.
Yes, come on, come on.
Because I feel like without grime, there wouldn't have been drill. Again, similar sort of thing to why DMB hip hop. But yeah, like, you get me. Drill is... People that think drill's going, you're waved. Like, drill ain't going nowhere. If anything, it's going to develop, bro. I've seen people do R&B drill, fam. Like, you get me? Drill's not, like, it's not going. But I would say for that question, yeah, man. Yeah, grime's got to stay, fam.
100%. All right. Aki and Saltfish or Brown Stew Chicken?
Bruv, Aki and Saltfish got to get Dash West. Yeah. Like, you know what it is? I love Aki and Saltfish, innit? Like, I do. But, like, at the end of the day, fam, like, bruv, you know how much shit you can make out of chicken, fam? Like, you get me? You get me? Brown Stew Chicken.
A dog fucking made a mess out of mine the other night.
Yeah.
Dog what?
Dog Jack killed
Russell
his chickens.
Jack Russell got in and killed my chickens, man.
Killed your chickens,
yeah,
fam?
Yeah, yammed them up. Some neighbour, Jack Russell, got into my garden. My missus rang me and I was like, I was in London. I said, all right. She said, you're going to need to bury them in the morning. I'll fucking come back there. It was feathers.
What?
Oh,
man. What, you got them all?
You just got little chickens just...
I had four.
You got chickens outside the yard.
Yeah.
I rate that, you know. Yeah. Once a man just goes, wakes up in the morning, just lift up under their batty.
We got them like in the lockdown last year. We were like in the garden, like kids. I was like, should you get some chickens?
Fuck,
there's a lady like not far from here. She like does them and she's like, yeah, when I got four chickens. Well, no, we had six. Like two died naturally and then fucking, yeah.
Mad ones though.
Yeah, I'm by the fucking Jack Russell.
Right.
I said to my missus, I said, I wouldn't have been pissed off if it was a fox because it'd been natural, because it was someone's fucking dog that got into the garden and it's pissed me off a bit, but.
Dickish. All right, and last but not least, we need your personal meaning of life, Corey.
My personal meaning of life? Learning from your mistakes, man.
Yeah.
I like that one.
That's a good one, man.
Learning from your mistakes. I feel like a lot of people, dwell on them, dwell on your mistakes and like, I wish I never done that and I wish I never done that or this and that, but really and truly they were put there for you to learn from them and you get me to grow. And all the mistakes that I've made in my life personally, like, you get me, it might have took me one or two times, but I've learned from it, you get me, and I've grown from it.
Don't squander, don't moan, fucking learn, and fucking take it as
learn and continue, man, because you get me, the place that you're in now might not be the place that you're in tomorrow, you get me?
Yeah, man.
There's that one as well, and it's like the person you are now, the person you are. You are now, well, you should be, like, the person that you wanted to be 5 years ago. Where did you look at yourself 5 years ago? Where did you want to be?
Yeah.
And look at yourself now. It's like the things you have now. That person 5 years ago. There's certain things I have in my life now. That person 5 years ago would have fucking
fam. 100%. Sorry, I know. Obviously, you need to close off the thing, but bro, that's so important, fam. Yeah. Because like, bro, like what? 3 years ago? 4 years ago? Like I say this all the time. I feel like I've lived two different lives. The way I grew up until about 23, bro, I was in a different thing. I was a different person. I was just angry at the world, bro. I wanted to fuck up everyone. I hated everyone.
Never met that person.
Yeah, I've hated
I've
everyone,
only met
bro.
The positive person.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? But it's real life. People that have known me from a youth, bro, and that, like, and even my, like, my close brethren, man, like, I've changed, innit? Because I was like, when I you get me, got opportunity, you know, to go university and them things there, like, that I never thought would happen to me, bro. Like, because where I'm from, not many people go uni. It's not a thing, like, bro, well, you're from ends and you've gone to uni, bro.
We were talking earlier, well, in one of the episodes before, about the money, like, I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. Like, it was Costa said he paid 300 euros for the year to do it. Yeah, where did you go? Holland. You went to Holland to do it, because it's like in here, like, we just get pants pulled
down. I'm saying. So, like, it's crazy. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And and from that person now to 4 years now, like, the person I am now, and I've still got a lot to learn. I'm still growing as a person. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But I feel like I'm in a different headspace than what I was. But I had to go through all of that shit.
And actually
confront that as well. I feel like people, you get me, people say things and that, like, yeah, I done that or whatever, and they want to hold on to it because it makes them feel good almost. Oh yeah, man used to trap, so you get me, I used to do my thing as well, but you don't really hear that from me in my music and that, because I don't need to, because it's not
it's not you. It doesn't define you.
It's what I had to do. It's what I had to do. It's not what I didn't want to do it. And these days, I feel like you got youths and that trap because it's cool.
Yeah.
Trap because their favorite drill rapper said to do it. When really and truly, like,
when same you actually the activists. Come
from, yeah.
You have activists doing it because it's cool. Yeah. And it's not because they believe in the fight. The cause that they're fighting for.
When you come from that actual area, bro, and you actually are struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, and you have to do it. It's a different meaning, bro. Yeah, so when I didn't have to do it anymore, and obviously you get me now, I'm just focusing on my music, my acting, you get me, and just living, bro. Every year I'm just happy, bro, that I've seen another year. Every day I'm happy. Yeah. And that's very important, bro. All that other shit doesn't matter. Money will come. You get me? If I've got clothes on my back, food in my belly, and a roof over my head, and that's all that matters.
With money as well, I think money only amplifies the person.
Yeah.
So the money
doesn't make the person.
Doesn't make the person. The money. If you're a cunt before you have money, you're gonna be
a bigger cunt, man. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're a good person before you get the money. You're gonna
be a good person.
Real facts. Yeah. And you know what? It's mad because I used to think like, you know, like when I used to like be like younger, I used to be like, rah, like that's easy for you to say because you've got money. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And I still, maybe that is true to a certain extent, but at the same time, like, for that person to have money, whether they've inherited the money or not, there's some people that just born into money, but to keep that and to make more, it's not as easy.
Do you know what, though? I heard a fact the other day, I haven't actually verified it, but they were saying that 90% of the world's millionaires are self-made.
There we go.
That makes sense.
And it makes sense, bro, because people... You get me? You have to do something. You get me? You have to have the right mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just go spend out a load of money, buy bare Louis Vuitton and that, and then the next day you wake up and do the same thing. Yeah. I'm going to go Fendi today, fam.
Well, that's what I mean.
Like, no, you have to do something with that money. Yeah. You have to invest that shit.
Yeah.
Music is not all I want to do, bro. Once I make the music, you get me? I want my own acting school, bro. Like, you get me? I want my own run, bruv. I've started up my own candle business, Delicia Ray Candles.
Yeah, bro, come on.
You get me?
Come on, bro. What?
Yeah,
what like, are they made of?
Wax, bro, so soya wax, but I do massage candles in it. So it all based around mental health, you get me?
Okay.
Like I said, from when my friend passed away and I suffered from it, like mental health is something that I really wanted to, you get me? What can I do to impact and help others?
Yeah.
And what I realised is during lockdown, I done a little course, like an aromatherapy course to learn about different essential oils and stuff. And then with that, now I do like massage candles. So certain candles will help with anxiety, some will help with depression. Sleep, all that kind of stuff, arthritis, psoriasis, all of that different stuff.
Chuck us a box, we'll put it up on the display.
Man, 100%, I'll drop that. So yeah, man, like, and that all's gonna come from just maybe you get me, whenever that money comes. But bro, I started that with fuck all, bruv.
Yeah.
You get me? I started that with a couple £100. I started that, you get me? And I saved, you get me, a couple £100, got the stock I needed, and then boom, I'm slowly growing, it's slowly getting better and better.
Yeah, man.
That's it, man.
Well, I think that's it, innit?
It's beautiful.
We're going to have to get you back on, bruv, because I don't feel like that was long enough.
Yeah, because we didn't talk about the acting. We didn't talk about
the mental health. We didn't talk about nothing, man.
Mental health, we had, you should check out our mate, Sai.
Yeah, he's good.
He runs a mental health, he's been on one of the episodes, he runs a mental health organisation called Mind That Music.
Yeah.
And he came on, and it's a music workshop for people struggling with mental health who don't actually make music, but he goes there and he creates music with them.
And like
he said he went to this one place and he said there was like the nurse come up to him and there was someone who'd not spoken for years.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, he's like, what do you mean him? And he's like, yeah, you can't get him off the mic. Like, he hasn't said a word for years. And this guy's on the microphone. No. He said, the power of fucking music.
Bro, you can do it's important, these workshops. Fam. It's important, especially for men.
Give me goosebumps talking about that story that he said, bro. Man.
Especially for men as well, like, you get me, men's mental health is a big thing, like anyone's mental health, but us as men, man, we don't want to
talk about
things, you get me, like, we don't want to feel vulnerable
again, but I think it comes back to that family unit of having that time at the dinner table to be able to talk and tell your feelings and say how it is. And I think that's what the world's
missing. Important, man.
What are we on?
10 minutes over.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's alright, that's fine.
Thank you, Corey.
Alright, big up Corey, man. Bless up, man.